94.5 90 The Fan. The Leafs will be greeting the media within the hour. They're going to begin doing that. I wonder what this guy would ask anybody in that organization about what happened once again. Let's ask Steve Dangle, our insider, brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Steve Dangle, you know him, the hockey YouTuber and host of the Steve Dangle podcast. Hi, Steve.
Sorry. Hey, at least you don't have to do Habs games this year, right? Like, you don't have to do Habs games. Are you going to do Battle of Alberta?
Yep.
Nice.
Yep. Yeah. What we're going to do?
excited. Way to sell it. Way to sell it.
It's going to be great. All right, Steve.
I guess
can you just believe, has it sunk in that this happened again? Like, I watched your post-game video, and it was a roller coaster of emotions, but how are we doing now a couple days later? It's Tuesday. How are you feeling?
Well, I am proud of myself for handling this better than last year. But
growth.
I mean, it doesn't make it any better. I feel like it'd be easier to process, like, had the loss to the Lightning and the loss to the Habs switched orders. Because if they switched orders, I think the path forward is clear. You blow it up, right? If they blow the 3-1 series lead to the Montreal Canadiens and lose the way that they do this year, you blow it up. Now that they legitimately looked better all season long and during the playoffs, and it still wasn't enough to even get out of the first round, which I'm going to remind everyone is a quarter of the way there. Like, I don't think people have processed, oh man, just win a series. Dude, that's a quarter of the way there. So they showed all these strides and they're still not even a quarter of the way to their goal. I don't know what you do.
Okay, so this is great, and this is why I want to talk to you today, because this has been my initial impression of people, and I've gone through it myself, man, because anybody who cares about this team or anybody who cares about people who care about this, whatever, I think you went through the process of they lost and you were stunned and disappointed and hurt, but also you cannot tell me that if you watch this team that this wasn't different to some degree, right? Like, all their core players did show up in the series, but you're right, it wasn't enough. And as the days have gone by, I think that has started to frustrate me more, Steve, and I think that I've seen that frustration grow a little bit from the, well, you have to run it back, to, no, things actually need to be on the table at this point, because that's just it. Tampa was beatable, right? Like, can we just all agree that Tampa Bay series, the Leafs were favored in it. They had home ice again. They were, their best players looked better than Tampa's best players. Tampa's goaltender was not the Hall of Famer that we have seen over the past couple of years, where there's just been moments where he's unbeatable. I thought Tampa looked like Stanley Cup champions at one point in that entire series, and that's when they were protecting a lead in Game 7, where I went, that's what champions do. That's how you lock down a game like real winners. And in overtime, when Vasilevsky and Hedman both decided that they were going to go into super mode as those two guys, and then they eke one out against the Leafs. But I just, the more I go through this, the more I just kind of feel like, hey, it is complicated, but to say that nothing has to change or that this needs to be the run it back with a small tweak, I don't know. That just doesn't sit well with me given what has happened here and the fact that the Montreal thing and the Columbus things, like, those did happen.
Well, and like, you know, you can look at so many players had great individual seasons and individual series, and they legitimately played great, and they pushed the champions to the end. But the other way you can look at it is, like, this is the best they can do, right? Like, I look at it, and I don't know if they could possibly do better, which means this is the max, which means you've got to do something. Matthews isn't going anywhere. Tavares isn't going anywhere. Marner isn't going anywhere. So I think you work from there.
Well, it's funny because this is a point, too, where you do, and I think that you have to. I've said, I don't think that you can return both Muzzin and Nylander, that one of those two guys has to go for different reasons. Muzzin, it's a, I don't think you can let him get old on the books and you have younger, cheaper options on your blue line, and you're going to have to pinch pennies somewhere and find a little bit more roster balance somewhere or make a decision, and that's got to be one of them. Nylander is a – you bring back a lot of value, and you can balance out your roster thing. The difficulty with the Nylander conversation is it's kind of the boy who cried wolf one, where we've done so many trade Nylander conversations that it's kind of become tired, and I think it triggers a certain section of the fan base where they go, oh, here we go again. He's the scapegoat. To me, it's not he's the scapegoat. It's just that he's the most realistic path to improving this team. And at what point do you have to look at this if you're Kyle Dubas and Brendan Shanahan and you're still involved in all of it and go, well, we've got to move the formula somehow, and this is the formula, is these four guys, and there's only one who can move.
Well, like Elliot Friedman talked about Kyle Dubas needing to have a summer of Kawhi, which I'm so, so tired of that comparison between the Leafs and the Raptors, because the Leafs to date haven't proved that they have anywhere close to the boldness or daring of Masai Ujiri. But if they are to have the summer of Kawhi, you're not going to acquire whoever the hockey equivalent of Kawhi is by trading Justin Hall and Alex Kerfoot, right? Like, it's going to require a big chunk of your roster. I mean, Willie is not DeMar DeRozan, but because you're not moving the big three, he definitely has the most value. I mean, when you said Muzzin, I was like, oh, yeah, that can make some sense. But it would still require some finagling because of his age and the term left on his deal. And ultimately, I mean, when the Leafs trade Willie, I assume they're going to get something for the back end anyway. So trading Muzzin doesn't help there at all. I like Nylander. I think he's getting better. But I think people need to make peace with the fact that, listen, by the end of the summer, one of Dubas or Nylander will be gone. Maybe both. Okay, and so fans need to cope with that.
Making the uncomfortable moves or the bold moves hasn't been something that we've seen lately. So what would you do? What is your – you have an opportunity to change something on this team. What is that in Steve Dangle's mind?
Immediately you have to figure out your goalie situation. Because, I mean, if you assemble this amazing team of Avengers – and you have a sieve at the back of it. I don't think it works very much. You offer Jack Campbell what Boston offered Linus Ullmark, and you see how close that gets you to a deal. And I think the answer that he gives you makes your path forward clear. You then try to get rid of Mrazek. You look for a home for Hall. You look for a home for Kerfoot. You try to make hockey moves, improve that way. And then you take the savings if Campbell won't stay, and you try to get the best goalie available. Now, who on earth is the best goalie available? It's not as easy to answer that as it has been in past years. Could you pry one of the goalies out of St. Louis? I don't know. Could you maybe do a one-year hell of a Band-Aid fix with Marc-Andre Fleury? I don't know. There's some answers to be had there, but ultimately the Leafs need to be a harder team to play against. And their mission is, how do we sacrifice as little skill as possible while becoming a truly miserable destination for NHL teams? When they see Toronto on the schedule, they cringe. They get upset. And all of a sudden, you know what? This knee, I don't think I can play on it tonight. You know what? It's a Wednesday in November. I think I need to rest. I think I need to hit the exercise bike. The Leafs need to be that destination.
So those are all on-ice roster changes. What would you do with the leadership of this team, or the people making in charge of making decisions or calling lines or drafting? And is there anything you would switch up in there?
Well, firing Dubas seems to be like at the top of everyone's mind. And, you know, he sort of put the target on himself last off season, basically saying, you know, I'm willing to bet my job on this core or whatever it was that he said, but like every aspect of this team, they're all Dubas guys. So if you fire Dubas, you're gutting the whole thing. You're gutting the scouts. You're gutting the analytics department. You know, all the guys he's brought in from the Sioux, Lawrence Gilman, the coach who has a ridiculous winning record. Mm-hmm. And if Dubas is fired, at what point does the attention then go to Brendan Shanahan, who has been the president of this team for nearly a decade now? He was the guy who hired Kyle. And then let's say he fires him. Well, what's the next bullet? I think it's him.
I think they're tied together. I think that at this point they are two peas in a pod and their destinies are... Because I don't think that Shanahan gets another shot at hiring another general manager. Like, he's already had two, by the way. Like, he hired Lou and he moved off of Lou and now he chose Dubas and that was his guy. And he doubled down on it and he's tripled down on it and it's okay because, again, you mentioned it. The team has shown a lot of strides. They've shown success in the regular season. You can point to all these different things of, well, they were justified in running it back this year because this, this, and that, and blah, 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 blah. I just think that at this point in time, if you are deciding it, you're right. It is a full gutting. And that's it. I don't get that sense right now. I do get the sense of these guys are going to get that one extra year, and then this is going to now all of a sudden become the prove me season, even though last year was supposed to be the prove me season, right? And we keep moving the bar, whatever. I would say that the only thing that really scares me about that is it's like we all become too attached with our team's prospects, right? The if you're a fan of a team, you know your prospects more, you care about them more. You, if you're Kyle Dubas, this is your founding philosophy. We can and we will. And it's your first major job. Like, I'm sorry, but being the general manager of the Greyhounds is not the Toronto Maple Leafs, okay? It's not an NHL job. Are you actually going to be able to show that flexibility and you're going to be able to make one of those moves? And like, so we did something called truth serum at the beginning of the show, and I'll ask you yours in a second here, but I said if I was going to get truth serum from one person, it would be Kyle Dubas, how aggressive are you going to be in terms of pursuing roster changes this year? Is it going to be like a you let teams come to you, but you're comfortable with things as they are? Or is it a you realize that maybe you need to tweak the formula and you go out and pursue it with other teams? And I kind of feel like if I was an owner, like if it was me, that would be the question I'm asking those two guys today. And depending on their answer, like that would be the main impetus for what I'm doing moving forward. You don't have to make the move. If the move's not there, you don't have to make the move. But I got to know at least that you're out there banging on doors and making sure that you've explored every avenue possible and that it wasn't just like you waiting to get your door knocked on.
Yeah, like if he doesn't have an answer for me as the owner by, let's say, what day is today, Tuesday? If he doesn't have an answer for me by Monday, we got a problem, and I'm about to move some furniture. Because, listen, I'm a very kind owner. I'm giving you a whole week to mourn, lick your wounds, and plan. And, you know, you're the player's guy.
Yeah.
Everyone loves you. You treat everyone right. A player gets hurt on the road. You stay with them for 4 days. Mm-hmm. For Dubas to make significant changes to this team, he's going to have to betray his identity a little bit. Betray the identity that he has presented to the team. But I'm also not totally sure. Like, here's the thing. What player on this team could blame him? Like, if he were to run it back, I think some people would understand. A lot of people would be frustrated. But he'd be able to argue it easily. Well, we took strides. You know, this happened, this happened, this happened. I think he'd be able to argue it easily. But what player, like, you'd get mad. Hey, you traded my friend. Okay, well, what would have you done? What should they have done? Five straight playoff series losses in a do-or-die game. What would you have done? It's out of their hands. It's out of their hands. No reasonable person could expect this particular general manager and all the history and all the context to do nothing.
Well, you know what? And this might be another truth serum question is maybe you give the truth serum to Austin Matthews and you say, hey, Would you actually like to see a significant shakeup? Like, do you want to look around the room next year and see all the same faces when your guys' backs are against the wall? Like, are you at this point kind of curious to see what else is left, right? Because there's always, like, self-belief, and, you know, you can get the most out of a group and you can do the best job possible. But everyone's always curious about what could be in a different situation, right? And it's the fear with Matthews in terms of moving forward or when free agency hits is that he starts to dream about a life outside of here and maybe something becomes a little bit more attractive to him, right? Maybe that does happen. Or maybe, like, we're making assumptions about things like that he does desperately want the core to be returned the exact same way. That maybe he does feel like, as the best player on this team, or Marner similarly, that both of those two guys go, it'd be cool to see something a little bit different here. Like, we would actually like to see a major shakeup here. Like, I don't know if we should be assuming at this point that all these guys necessarily want to stay together and keep running this back the way that us as kind of fans and observers assume that they would.
It's totally different this year, because last year we were looking at individual performances after Montreal and going, this guy didn't give enough. Yep. That guy didn't give enough. This year, it's literally just they didn't win. So whatever you got to do, however you find this mysterious ghost named Win, like, however you achieve that, you got to do it. You know, trade this guy. You've had a bunch of great dinners together. So what?
Yeah,
it's the business. You know what? All that advice your agent gave you during contract negotiations. You know, for the holdout, and people are going to say this, and people are going to say that, and don't worry about it. Don't take any of it personally. It's business. Okay. Well, you're in the business of winning. It's been half a decade, and business is business.
Yes, absolutely. And honestly, like, I think that if this core gets moved, there's not one person that should be able to look at this and go, they didn't get enough kicks at the can. Like, this core of four has gotten everything that they wanted. They got the opportunity to play together for multiple years, multiple playoff exits, and literally every piece of money, fame, glory, like, for regular season success that you could possibly have, right? There's no lost opportunity cost in terms of deciding that this needs to be changing moving forward. So I guess this is the last one for me anyways, is simply, you said how you wish that it was the other way around because it would be easier to make this decision, which is totally right. I wonder how much of that, though, is just simply, too, that as frustrating as this hockey team is, the one thing that seemed to unite Leafs fans was always during an offseason, people would be frustrated with the team and they would be upset with the team, and you could kind of bond over your shared misery. And now that this has become so complicated in the sense of what do you actually do here and what is the move, and now that it feels like the fan base is sort of kind of tearing each other's eyes out and at each other's throats, I almost feel the most, in a weird way, almost more depressed than last year against Montreal because of just, like, the divisiveness between different factions of fans, and the way that right now it's like, it almost feels like politics in the home when it's sports. And I wonder if you're feeling that too.
Well, so I live in Oshawa, right? So uh-huh. I've been driving by all these Dubas signs, you know, fire Shanahan signs, trade Nylander. It's a newly registered party.
Lawns?
Yeah, on lawns. Yeah. There's people canvassing. There's one guy who's weirdly aggressive about the Leafs needing to keep Alexander Kerfoot. You know,
it's a weirdly
is he related
aggressive
to
corner.
Him?
That's a weirdly aggressive corner. Yeah.
I don't know, but he keeps banging on doors, and I'm like, yeah. Buddy, you already yeah. see my sign, and no, yeah. he's actually really aggressive about it. So it's really political out here in the 905. But I don't know what it's like for you city slickers.
Yeah,
but
it's
been that way for us.
Yeah, it's the same for us city slickers. All right, like, we're here, and it's the exact same. It's the exact same thing. I can't remember a time quite like this. And yeah, they're obviously, you say, well, how could you not remember a time like this? They've lost game 7. It was just like Luke Fox put up a poll earlier on Twitter. I think it was yesterday. And I think that 70% of respondents, and again, it's an online poll, and we know that online and reality or whatever can be very different things and where the online trend tends to be. But over 70% was just run it back. And I'm just kind of looking at this now in sort of disbelief that this is where we're at, where it's just become win one round. And that's the main goal of this thing. Explore no other options, and regular season success is trumping playoff success. It's tough. It's a very, very strange, and I think a little bit of a sad moment for the franchise. Like, really, really sad. And today's answers are going to be very, very curious in terms of how these guys respond to this and what the messaging is from Dubas and Shanahan particularly.
Oh, for sure. But what I'm looking forward to, like, I don't want to learn about, you know, how much respect they gained in the handshake line. No, this is locker cleanout day. I just want to know who's going to ask the cringiest question. Let's go. Let's hyperanalyze that on Twitter for three days.
You know who's going to do
that. Oh, I know. I can't wait to hear what he asks. What's it going to be this time?
I mean, it's hard for him to top what he's already done in the playoffs, you know? Like, it's really tough. He's got to bring something. He's got an A game. I wonder if he preps him or if it's just off the cuff, if he's just a natural.
It's got to be off the cuff. No analysis.
Are you natural? Yeah, it's incredible. Steve Dangle, the live streams are incredible. Again, you can continue to watch Steve do live streams for the Battle of Alberta, which will be incredible hockey, to the point where normally this is shutdown time for me, where I have a tough time watching Stanley Cup playoffs after the Leafs are eliminated for a round. It takes me usually a recuperation round, but this Battle of Alberta is good enough where I will be watching, Steve. Congrats on it, and may next year be the year where you get two rounds of it, my friend.
Thank you,
it's always next year. Yeah, all right. See you, buddy. Steve Dangle, YouTube host, the Steve Dangle podcast, all those things. And this Insider has been brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Yeah. Why can't we all just get along, right, with our opinions about this hockey team? That's just where I'm at with it. Day after day, I get a little bit more frustrated, which is usually the opposite. Like, normally I'm so frustrated at the beginning, and then I start to calm down and I start to rationalize a little bit more. And I wonder if the rest of Leaf fans are kind of starting to feel something similar. Like, and maybe this is the text line question, is have you moved off of your opinion from the first day or two? Because I don't think one of the worst things that we've done with, like, Twitter and take culture is, well, you said this. Who cares? Like, you can change your opinion about sports. It's actually supposed to be the thing you change your opinion about the most.
Yeah. Would you rather someone change their opinion when new information presents itself, or would you rather them dig in against new information? Like, what do you want here?
Yeah. But, yeah, have you kind of moved off of something, or have you started to become more flexible either way? Because I think that we usually try to join our, like, tribe, right? Or you try to have a solution to something right away. You have to have a quick fix or a quick take or a quick opinion, whatever. Mm-hmm. But the longer this has gone on, the more I just say, I don't need one specific thing. I'm not really specifically mad at one individual or one thing in particular. But I am just very much in the camp of something needs to change, and you need to be open to that change. Maybe you're not forcing a bad trade, because no one, like, that's always the straw man, right, with the Nylander thing, is it's always a bad trade. And yeah, guess what? It's very likely that you wouldn't be getting back as top tier of a talent. No team is sitting out there with someone as talented as Nylander looking to move them. But if you are making it, it can't be with the belief that there's no shot of it improving your hockey team. Like, you haven't gotten out of the first round the entire time with this core. Like, you have to at least be open to the possibility it can get better than this, than being close to a Tampa Bay team. It has to be. It has to be possible to be better than this. What are you open to? What are you completely closed to? It's text line Tuesday, 590-590. Reach us anytime at JD Bunkus, at Eilish4Far. Let's get to those texts next. And maybe we'll hear from some of those Leafs as they're cleaning out lockers, depending on who it is and what they have to say. It's the Fan Morning Show, JD Blake and Ehlers, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Breaking down the top stories in hockey and Elliot Friedman every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sportsnet 590.
1-800-475-590. The Fan. Text line Tuesday. Final block. Send them in while you can. Possibility that we switch over to some of the Leafs media availability if they're not Labushkin. We'll get them on air for you, but stay tuned on that one. They should be starting around 9:30, which is the time it currently is. So let's get into some texts in the meantime. You can always send them 590-590. JD says he's got a good DM as well, so you can hit us up there. Start with Frank from Fergus. I remember I sewered Frank from Fergus the other day on a text that wasn't him, but this is really Frank.
Okay, the real problem Frank. Let's go, Frank. Let's go, Frankie. You had to put Ailish. Shout out Ailish for putting him at the top after butchering poor Frank and Fergus. All his buddies listen to the show like, Frank said that? Wow, that's not very Frank. Like,
Frank would never. All right, he really said this one. The problem with this series was the Leafs played every single game differently and refused to repeat like they did in game one. Bottom roster didn't accomplish anything. Clifford should have been back in to knock Tampa around. By the end of the series, there are no scrums. Keefe was simply outcoached again.
I really do think that there's a case to be made for the Keefe stuff. I think that our buddy Christopher Stieg put it the absolute best. I would say that this to me is very much like if we're talking about summer of Kawhi, right? When we do that comparison, and I will admit that I get where Elliot's going with it, and I don't hate the idea of it, but I'm more in the Dangle camp of like, let's actually see them do something bold. But here's my thought on summer of Kawhi. They also fired the coach. They didn't just go get Kawhi. They fired the coach and they decided to go with somebody else. They said, hey, Nick Nurse, we're turning it over to you. And oh, so many people cried. Oh, he won coach of the year, they said. Many of you right now. I'm just saying exactly. Many of you had the position, and I will say that it's just, I'm just saying many of you to illustrate a point because some people are saying the same thing about Keith. They're going, look at his regular season success. He's done this, he's done that, he's done this, he's done that. This is part of the Dubas thing in terms of how aggressive will you be. If you're going to be Summer of Masai, then you have to fashion yourself about Masai, and you have to be bold, and you have to be able to make those tough decisions. Everyone is assuming Kyle Dubas won't fire Sheldon Keefe because he's his buddy. Well, guess what? Brian Burke brought in Ron Wilson, and he fired his buddy. And that's a thing that the big boys do. And I'm not saying, like, oh, I'd rather have Brian Burke. That's nothing to do with this. All I'm saying is this is a business. And if Kyle Dubas thinks that there is a better coach out there for this team, he has to be honest about it, and he has to pull the trigger on it. Mm-hmm. And I'm scared that pride is here with both with the general manager and with Brendan Shanahan, that they went and they said, this is the coach for us. This is our guy. We didn't interview anybody else. I don't want to fracture this relationship. I don't want to lay it at my friend's feet, and that they won't make that uncomfortable move. So, yeah, I think it's a totally fine opinion. What you've said, Frank from Fergus, it's actually yours this time.
Frankie.
I don't think that, to me anyways, that I don't think that just a coach alone is enough, frankly. I think that it's one part that you consider, but I don't think that it's quite enough.
Well, what was Summer of Kawhi? It was Summer of Kawhi and the coaching change, not just the coaching change, right? I had someone ask me yesterday about the parallels between Casey and Nurse or Mark Jackson and Steve Kerr. And in the case of Mark Jackson, he was just an objectively bad coach. Mm-hmm. In the case of Casey and Nurse, it also happened with a pretty dramatic roster shakeup that happened in the offseason and during the season.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I want to read a DM from my buddy Caleb, who's actually one of the most positive Leaf fans that I know. He DM'd me. I agree. My opinion has changed. Initial thoughts were run it back, but after realizing they were that close to a cup run, it made me realize they could actually win a cup with upgrades. So yeah, they need a major roster switch. If the goal is to win a round, I say run it back, because they eventually will. But if the cup is the goal, they need to make major changes. And Caleb, that's a great way of putting it, man, is that's how I feel too, is not so much that they can't make a cup run with this team, I guess, because I think that they really would have this year had they done it. But this year is this year, you know? And I think the mistake we can make at times is applying and saying, well, this situation will be next year's situation. And no, it's not always like that. I think you missed your shot this year with this group. I do. That's how I feel about it right now. I think you missed your shot with this year, with this group, and you need to be thinking about what is better for the next year. And I'm not sure it is having the same guys run it back and having the same guys around the room, the same offseason, the same line mates, the same core, the same questions, the same media approach, the same fan approach. I don't see it as the way forward. You have to ask yourself, not how are you getting out of the first round, though. That's the part of this thing I want to key in on. It's how do you win a cup? And I really hope that the fan base does take time to recalibrate this, that, man, I want just a round two, because a round starts the next round. Like, you need to start somewhere, right? You need to get out of bed to start your day. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, the whole shift to the first round becoming a Stanley Cup is beyond troublesome. And now the shift to, well, they tried harder and they, quote-unquote, you keep hearing, they showed up as the barometer of success for this year or for reason. They showed up can't be a reason for remaining things intact. Like, you have to ask yourself, do you think they're going to win a cup with this group, or do you think that they could make a change and improve their odds? And if at least you have to, again, entertain both ideas.
Leslie from Scarborough has basically just summing that up in a really great way. Good morning, guys. Love your show as always. My true serum question to the Leafs brass would be, are you content with Leafs Nation becoming apathetic like I am becoming if you run the exact same people back? And that is exactly the point that is frustrating me when I saw, oh, you know, just tweaks. It's like tweaks might just bring us to the same situation. Like, if we're just happy, as JD just said, winning one round, and like, that's not good enough. Like, you know, this team was a cup contender and they fell short, and it's that quote about insanity, and we all know it, and that's how I feel.
So, granted, last year had different variables. One, the Leafs played the Montreal Canadiens, so that's a big audience you're bringing in nationally. Also, it was pandemic times. More, I think more people were probably inside, less people starting to move out and do their different thing. But television ratings were down dramatically this year for the Leafs' first round. They were. They were down dramatically. Do I think there are many way fewer Leaf fans? No, not necessarily, but here's my guess. If the Leafs end up with the same team and they go to the first round next year, unless they play Montreal or they play Ottawa, my guess is the ratings would be down again off of this year. That some people don't want to put themselves through this anymore. And part of that is they feel like they've seen this story play out. And part of the feeling the story play out is that it's the same actors in the show. It's the same characters that are involved in all of this. And this is something I forgot to ask Elliot, because it's a hard question to ask somebody that's like an insider and right after things happen. But yeah, how much kind of should the entertainment product weigh into this in terms of satisfying the fans to a degree? Because I think that this whole thing of like, hey, are you just satisfying the fans with bloodletting? No, that's obviously not right. Calling for someone's job like that, and just because you want a ritual sacrifice, I think is pretty gauche. But at some point, do you not have to show some favor to a fan base that is this loyal, that you want them to be entertained, you want them to be engaged, and you want them to believe in you, and you want them to not feel like a joke? You don't want them chewing each other's heads off online? Like, where is that, right? If you really do feel like people are out on some of this, and that they can't take more of this, or that it's bad for people, it's like, when do you have to factor that in, and how much do you factor it in? I know it's a weird question, but it's one that I always kind of think on.
It is, and it's a hard thing to evaluate.
Quantify.
It was impossible to quantify outside of like ratings and revenue, and that's not always the best barometer. But it's also a difficult thing of, if you feel pressure to make moves because of that, but that pressure then nudges you towards negative moves that are negative expected value or might make you worse on paper. And it's the whole like killer instinct thing of like, okay, well, you're making a move to make the team worse on paper, hoping that there's some intangible thing that improves later. And it's the same kind of thing. If you make a move because the fan base is tired, and look, there's no precedent for this. Like, this is, I know it was a stat that everyone got annoyed of seeing on Saturday or whatever, but no team has ever done this to this degree. We can't look at, hey, this team went through it and this happened with the fan base. Yes, there are teams that have had long, long, long championship droughts like the Red Sox and the Cubs who finally shook that off, and it was a euphoric moment for those fan bases. But there's never been a team that first round, first round, first round, first round, first round, first round. Mm-hmm. It hasn't happened before. So how to contextualize what the fan base is feeling has no precedent. And you have to weigh very carefully that nudging you, but it also nudging you to a potentially negative move because you feel like you have to do something. And then the fan base is going to be even more tortured because you're in a worse position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, it's why I think that they've made a mistake when they continue to compare themselves to teams that went through failures. Like, again, they have referenced Tampa Bay so many times, and I can't believe they continue to do it, because again, Tampa Bay went to a Stanley Cup final, they went to Eastern Conference finals, and that does matter. Knowing what it takes to get to that place and get over the final hump is very, very different than having this many years of first round failures versus one time where Tampa choked to Columbus. Like, Tampa choked that one time and then they won right away. They didn't choke and then choke again, and then they choked again, and then they choked again, and then all of a sudden they went on a Stanley Cup run. Like, they had been to a Stanley Cup, they had been deep in the playoffs, then they had choked, they had had regular season success, then they dialed back the regular season success. Like, you don't get to compare yourselves to them, okay? Like, you shouldn't compare yourselves to them. And I think it's kind of damaging when you portray yourselves as the everyday sports story, and the people who are frustrated with this as kind of idiots who don't understand that all success is linear. Anyways, what's next?
Okay, here's an interesting one. Jim from Fergus. If Tampa wins the cup, does that
Frank's
change
buddy.
Your opinion?
All the Fergus boys are getting off the takes today. What's up, Fergus? Shout out.
BFS.
Hey, we're Fergus.
This is the Fergus show.
We are big in Fergus. What's going on, Fergus?
Jim from Fergus. If Tampa wins the cup, does that change your opinion of the Leafs?
No. Why would it? Why would it change my opinion of the Leafs? They lost to them. Like,
they
who
lost
cares?
To the cup winners. Doesn't matter.
Honest to God, did it change your opinion? Anybody that Montreal went to the Stanley Cup final last year?
It kind of frustrated me more than I think it should have.
Oh, I think it did the opposite for me. It was just like, this is a complete nonsense season.
Yeah. I'm just saying that...
viewed both ways, right?
I think, Ailish, that is your true proof of concept when it comes to being an athlete, is when you lose, you go, I want to lose to the champ, because that's just kind of the way that you can rationalize how close you are. But again, I don't look at things like, if Tampa loses, then Toronto would have lost, or if Tampa wins, that Toronto would have won. I think it's just completely different. I view the path as open this year again. I think that Tampa was beatable, that Toronto was favored, and that's the part of this whole Tampa thing about them being Stanley Cup champs back-to-back, whatever. The Leafs were favored in the series. They had home ice advantage. They had a better record. They had a better showing in the regular season. They had stars that they got more from. They had a goaltender that outplayed them. They had a more balanced blue line. Like, go down the line and tell me why Toronto should not have won that series. Could they have lost it? Is it a cataclysmic failure to lose to Tampa in a complete silo, in a thing where you just do not know about any of the past or future or whatever? No, but they were still favored to win a series. This is the third time in a row where they had last change in Game 7, where they were in front of their fans in a Game 7, and they lost. They lost. They didn't do it again. So I don't care what Tampa does. I care what the Leafs did. And they're not at the point where I'm looking at it and saying, oh, they're the champs, they would have won. I already know that had Toronto moved on, all those things about them being favored, or all those reasons why they would have been favored, would have applied to all the other series that were ahead of them. Tampa was a tough out. It's a tough break that it happened that way. But all I think of is already what's there, which is you would have probably been favored to make a Stanley Cup final. And that should be factored in again in terms of the criticism of this group for once again not coming through. Four games in a row, everybody, where they didn't score the first goal of the hockey game in the four biggest games of the series. Just saying. Got to be accounted for. Multiple games where their goaltender had to battle and bail them out in order just to keep them in hockey games so they could make that comeback, so they could find that resolve, right? Like, it wasn't always there with this group. Got to ask yourself, why in some of those moments did they tighten up? Why in some of those moments did they not show up? Why did they get off to some of those slow starts? Why did it feel so important to have that first goal in a Game 7 and all of a sudden that they were tensed up and not able to adjust to some of the things that Tampa threw at them in that game? I'm not saying that they're the biggest losers. I'm not saying that they need to be blown up. I'm just saying, please, for the love of God, stop acting like if Tampa wins a Stanley Cup this year, that Toronto would have done the same, or that they are made of the same material.
What's next? Want to blow it up, but Jeremy from The Junction says, one of the best parts of Game of Thrones, they kept killing people off. Not asking for the Red Wedding, but maybe we need our Ned Stark moment.
You know what, though? That show was good until they started killing too many people, and then you were like, oh, my God, it's becoming predictable that you're killing everybody we like.
Well, it's also, it's a great example of, okay, the grass isn't always greener because you kill off all these characters and you have to replace them with characters who probably aren't as good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and that's the way I feel about it too. In terms of that's why I guess I'm most torn about the front office. Is I go and I look at it and I say, usually stability is best, and I think that these guys have done a lot of good here, right? And that has translated to regular season success, blah blah blah, fringe moves, whatever. This is why, to me, again, the question with the front office in terms of them keeping their jobs, if I was the owner of the team, would be like, what are you going to try to do this offseason? And Dangle had just said it. If they don't have that answer by now, if they don't have that answer by Monday, then you got to go. This cannot be, well, we think we're knocking on the door talk anymore, and we just got to keep knocking until we knock it down. No, you've gotten all your shots at that to me.
Exactly what Ryan from Fergus, just kidding, Ryan from Guelph
okay,
is saying.
I was going to say, all right, Blake, are we JD only broadcasted in Fergus?
It's the only channel they have. Yeah. Hey, Blake, JD, and Ailish, love the show. You guys are great. I just want to see a plan. I want Dubas to set a goal and a plan. I'm in construction, and every visionary or homeowner has a plan and a clear goal, and from there, they're the contractor who chooses the proper trade to get the job done. It should be the same for management.
Here's my question back for him. When's the last time you guys finished a project without going over budget, though? You don't have a salary cap in those things. Everything's always over budget.
That's a good one. To me, they have had a vision. They have had a plan. They have had it. They outlined it from we can and we will. And it was this template of we have four forwards that occupy this much of the cap. And we think that we can tinker around that group and find other ways to win. We feel like it's easier to find the gap between someone we sign for 1 point something and 4 point something plus than it is to pay these guys $11 million and find the next tier below. And I would be curious as to how they feel that way now and whether they would be willing to move off of that philosophically. I'm not even saying they have to, because again, you get yourself into trouble in professional sports when you do the have to move. It's how the Kadri trade happened. Like, you can learn from both of your mistakes. You can learn from the mistake of, oh, we had to make a move, we had to trade a guy. Oh, well, you got absolutely killed in that trade. And, oh, we have to keep this core, we have to keep knocking at the door, to you are losing opportunity cost now moving forward, and you are potentially damaging your group down the line, and you are missing out on the idea of a change. Like, there has to be somewhere in the middle. You have to be creative. It's in a very, very difficult position to be put in. I don't think it's easy. That's why all of us are in disagreements on a lot of different elements of this. But that's what the money's for. That's why you're in the big chair. That's why you're Kyle Dubas and everyone else says you're an armchair GM to the three of us. So have that new plan. Have a plan that is not the exact same plan as it once was. Because the plan that you've had has resulted in going, like Blake said, over budget. The project hasn't been done yet. We're 5 years behind plan. This is basically Union Station, where you're going, are we just building in here forever?
No, it's Eglinton.
Eglinton now has become that. Exactly. It's like the Leafs have become Eglinton, where it's just, hey, so forever, like forever
keep
and ever and ever.
Yourself.
Right, exactly. We'll get there. We'll get there eventually. Eventually, we'll keep banging on the door, and Eglinton will be done. It'll be all clear. Exactly. Like, you're going to need to adjust the plan, let's just say.
Okay, we've got a lot of we've talked a lot about Leafs, but let's just sprinkle a Jays in here. Tim from Allison.
Sure.
Should the Jays start shopping for pitching now with both Mesa and Romano going down with injury concerns? It just shows how thin they and concerning the bullpen already is.
No, yeah, because
this
it
is always my
yet.
Yeah, this is always my thing, is it never does happen, and even last year was mid to late June and everyone was like, "Ooh, that's early to be adding bullpen arms." I would do it now. There's no time like the present, and the guys that you were worried about potentially having to lose the waivers and stuff like that haven't performed. So you need someone who can miss bats back there.
What's so funny about this time of year is people go, well, you can't make trades right now because teams – it's like the Baltimore Orioles are already 12 and a half games back of the division. you know, like they – if the the Orioles should already be calling the Blue Jays saying, hey, do you want one of these bullpen arms? They have had a sneaky good bullpen. But, yes, in theory, of course they should. But in practicality, it doesn't happen. So, no, it can't happen right now. It won't happen right now. We're about a month away probably from even entertaining some of these trade ideas. All right, back to Leafs. What do we got?
Back to Leafs. Cam from Oshawa. Look around our division. Florida's window is just starting. Tampa is still a couple of years away from falling apart. Detroit, Ottawa, and Buffalo will be coming. Boston is nearly finished. What is the Leafs' window?
That's a really great question. I think the Leafs, again, if they run this thing, if the Leafs run this thing back. Yeah. You're right. The window of certainty is the Matthews contract, right? Like, it's the next two seasons. Beyond that, it gets a lot more complicated because there's going to be a final year of Tavares that is probably going to be pretty uncomfortable, right? Mm-hmm. And that'll be the first
year
of
what feeling that way.
But that would be the first year of Matthews' new deal. And if I'm Austin Matthews, I wonder if he was – like if you're going to re-sign in Toronto and you're going to take less, right? About – let's say management learned from mistakes. I don't necessarily think it was a mistake that Austin Matthews got as much as he wants, but I thought Ryan Kesler brought up a great point the other day and goes, listen, you wonder why you didn't win with the group that you have, and it's because none of you guys sacrificed any money. And I think that's a fair criticism, honestly. Like all of them took the most amount of money, and had they all taken $1 million less, all four of them – then there'd be another $4 million slot. Like, that pays Jack Campbell immediately this offseason, and all that other cap money that Blake's talking about is there for whatever other roster tinkerings. Like, it does matter. I wonder, though, if Matthews gets to that point where he gets the contract extension, whether he likes it enough here to take a cut, right? Sid had won. Sidney Crosby's the guy that everybody points to because he took less and then Malkin took less, and it sort of knocked down the rest of the dominoes of how Pittsburgh remained successful in the salary cap era. But Sid had already won, so he wanted to keep together a group that already had gotten him to the point where he was at his most happy. I wonder how that's going to apply with Matthews. But yes, the window is 2 years. I don't know how much I agree about like how close Detroit is to being on the come up. Like last I saw, we smashed their brains out by 10 goals every game. Senators, same thing. Like
Buffalo is more of an argument, I think.
Yeah, I think Buffalo's a little frisky and that they could be a little friskier
Cage
next
Thompson's
year. But
taking over the league.
Yeah, exactly. Like they're out of that group to tier up, but then you say, hey, it's also Buffalo, so how about you? Like, Buffalo was supposed to be the Leafs' rivals when they got Matthews and it was Eichel, and we went, oh, look, these two, they could have a rivalry now, and Buffalo's back in the cellar, so I don't know. I'll believe when I see it. Either way, I think that in terms of the division, the next 2 years, I think the Leafs are in the best spot out of all these teams. If I could be any of these teams over the next 2 years, I would pick the Leafs even over Tampa Bay. I think Tampa is, again, I think they were there for the taking, and I don't think it's the old Tampa team, and I think that they're tired. Like, those burnt-out quotes that Friedman got about from around the league, like, I think there's something to that. Like, you can't not think it when you watch Tampa right now.
Okay, let's get two more in quickly.
Two more.
Ryan from Caledon. If I own the Leafs, I'm watching my management closely this week. If my GM doesn't at least go down the Trotz road, I think his friendship with the head coach is getting in the way. If my president doesn't recognize that, he's not the right guy for the job.
Like that one. Good text.
Love that one.
Yeah, my only issue with it is that it treats the ownership group as like a single person invested in the team success rather than a board of whatever.
Totally.
And that's
the practicality.
That's how I would want them to approach it. But unfortunately, sometimes, fortunately, it does work out when you have a capable front office and there's no hand, you know, there's no mingling or whatever. But yeah, I don't know that that's the. Yeah. I couldn't think of the word.
Tinkering
brain is
from
mush.
Up top, but it's tinkering. Yeah. It's the same way. But it was funny picturing mingling because I pictured the guy showing up at a cocktail
just like
party,
hanging out awkwardly.
Hang out with me,
hey
yeah.
guys.
yeah, yeah.
We're a
jackass. Hey, hang.
Yeah, right, hey, I'm board member number three.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We want to mingle. We got a luxury box to go watch a different hockey game. Can we mingle together? I think that the point of this one though is just more that you know what you would want to see if you are that owner, and so I'm with Ryan on this one. I feel the same way. I would be asking tough questions like, would you fire your friend? And do you think you should fire your friend? And the way that Dubas answers a question like that is serious. Our show's almost done, so we won't take Spezza, but I'm sure we have Gunning and Stelic after us. They're going to take the reins from here, and they're going to play all the Leafs audio from today and kind of mix you through it. And then tomorrow we have Justin Bourne for an entire hour to kind of go over what these guys have to say today and some more off-season planning. Ailish, I know you had one more. We got about 30 seconds.
Oh, it's okay. It was just a lot of people want a Nylander for Tom Wilson trade. Do you do it? Local guy, big body, loves the fight, mess him up in the corners.
Someone has to replace the Pierre Engvall handsomeness if Engvall's out.
That's right.
Here's what I would say to that. Yes, 1,000 times yes, of course. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I'll get roasted on old Twitter.com for that, but no, yeah, I think that's the kind of deal where you would absolutely do it. And the crazy thing is you'd probably be able to command something else back too, but yeah, Tom Wilson's exactly what you want. Like, that's a physical forward who can also score and strikes the fear of death into their opponents. Like, yeah, you might hate him because he's not on your team. Guess what Tom Wilson would be if he's in Toronto
he's
next week?
The
most
red
popular
wedding.
Leaf who ever lived. Okay, so let's leave. Thank you for joining us. Let's leave a review. Subscribe to this podcast. I'm sorry to the Nylander fan that I just offended with that opinion that Ailish, you know, put me on the put the guillotine over my head for at the end
now
of the show.
Bye.
Yeah, goodbye. See you tomorrow.